Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have you ever wondered why geese fly in a V pattern? You start cleaning up your yard in the fall, and all of a sudden the geese start flying over your roof of your house, and they're always in a V pattern. Perhaps you already know the answer, but the answer is a really remarkable one. Geese fly in a V pattern so that all geese can fly longer and farther. The lead goose takes the brunt of the work, flying up front, with most of the wind resistance, doing most of the flapping, most of the work, so that the geese behind him or her can sort of ride in the jet stream, if you will. If the lead goose does get tired, it just drops back to the back of the V. A new goose takes the front and does the brunt of the work until he or she also gets tired. Even more remarkable, if a goose gets injured or too tired to fly and drops from the V pattern back to the ground, it will not drop by itself. Other geese will drop with it and watch and tend with it until it's ready to fly again. You see, geese never leave a goose to fend for itself. Say that five times fast. Geese are always thinking about other geese, ready to step in, ready to strengthen the herding, strengthen the weakened goose. It's funny, God designed geese and many other animals to show this kind of love and care for each other, to strengthen the weak, to strengthen the hurting. And I think it's a helpful reminder for us humans who were originally created in God's image, unlike any other creature, but who have fallen from that image. I think it's a helpful reminder to look at the animal kingdom sometimes, because we, of all creatures, sometimes have the hardest time considering others, especially others in need. In all the readings we just heard read by Pastor Prince today, there's a common theme, that God has designed his church to be like a flock of geese, to be filled with individual, unique talents and gifts for sure, but intent on using those unique gifts and talents for the sake of others, for the sake of strengthening one another, especially the hurting, the weakened brothers and sisters, the most vulnerable. And so it's good that we take a look at these passages today, which speak to the third point of our four-point mission statement, strengthen one another. In our gospel lesson, Jesus brings this concept of strengthening one another to his disciples in his command to love one another as I have loved you, Jesus says. And Jesus commands this divine way of loving not on any ordinary night, but on the night in which he washed his disciples' feet, a very dirty task when nobody else would. A night on which he fed them his holy supper for the forgiveness of the sins, their sins and their eternal life. On the night in which he would be betrayed by one of those disciples, and abandoned by all the disciples, handed over to be whipped and scourged and mocked and crucified, killed and buried in a tomb, all for the sake of others. For the sake of others. Loving others. You see, Jesus shows us that love starts with God. God loving humanity through Jesus. But God's love does not just end by doling it out. God's love continues on through people. God's love moves from God to us, through us, for one another. God's life brings life to humanity in Jesus, and then when it's shared to other people, it strengthens his creation. Geese loving geese, humans showing God's love to strengthen one another. We see the sharing of love to strengthen one another as a mission of the early church. Look at our reading in the book of Acts. What did the first generation Christians do? Well, they met regularly for worship, to study God's word, and to receive the Lord's Supper regularly. Point one of our mission statement. They also, if you read the book of Acts, were going out seeking the lost. Point two of our mission statement. But when they came back to gather, they didn't just gather to worship. They gathered to strengthen one another. They gathered to pray for each other. That was a big part of it. but they also gathered to care for the needs of one another, to strengthen one another, the third point of our mission statement. The book of Acts repeatedly even mentions how the rich would sell their property and possessions, not counting it as their own, but then bring it to the apostles so that they could care for the poor. St. Paul also addresses the topic of strengthening one another in his letters quite often. At the end of his letter to the Galatians, for instance, Paul reminds the Galatians to carry one another's burdens. He's speaking of those who can't carry their own burden, the sick, the homebound, and the most vulnerable. And then there's his letter to the Corinthians, the first letter, where Paul chastises the churches of Corinth because they're not caring for each other. When they gather together to worship, they're not loving each other. When they gather for worship, they didn't have an altar guild to prepare the Holy Supper. They would have potlucks and people bring their food. The rich would take the wine and get drunk on it. When worship came around, the poor would then go up to take the Lord's Supper, and there were no elements to eat, no wine to drink, no body and blood to nourish their soul. You read the first letter of Corinthians, you find out that they were suing each other. They're having affairs with each other, and they're bragging about it within the church. They're neglecting the poor, the widowed, and the vulnerable. And so Paul lays a heavy dose of law, God's law, on their hearts. Thankfully, in the second letter, we find that the Corinthians repented. Paul rejoices that they repent and change from their sinful ways and get back to loving each other. We find a different picture in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, which we're studying on Sunday morning. A different picture of how the Thessalonians are loving one another. If you read 1 Thessalonians, Paul is worried about the Thessalonians, that they may have fallen away from their faith in Jesus because a great persecution has swept through their town, their city. He couldn't get there to check it out himself, so he sends Timothy. And what does Timothy find? Timothy finds a thriving church, sound in faith and hope in Jesus Christ, and loving each other well. Paul tells the Thessalonians, "I'm so encouraged by the report about you. You have been taught God's love by God himself, but you are doing it." And then he says, "Now do it all the more. Increase in your doing it. Increase in loving each other. Increase in how you strengthen one another." Paul's message for Chapel of Cross today, I would assert, would be much like his letter to the Thessalonians. He would tell you to love one another, to increase in loving one another, because you're already doing a great job. But do it all the more. Not for the sake of your salvation. That's an already done deal. Jesus' love for you is a historical fact proven at the cross of Calvary and the empty tomb. You can't do anything to get more forgiven or less. Your sins are forgiven. Your eternity is certain. What a wonderful blessing it is to have no doubt when you lay your head on your pillow each night that you will live forever. But Paul's message to us, the Chapel of Crossians, would be to love one another, to continue to abound and increase in this for the sake of others. That's why we do it. It's also a wonderful blessing to know not just that our salvation is sealed, but that God has called us to a very high purpose, the highest purpose in this life, to love each other, to strengthen one another in faith and for the faith. We are, in essence, called to fly in the gospel like geese in care for and intent on strengthening one another. It starts right here in worship, by showing up on a very cold morning when you could have slept in, or last week on a very snowy, slushy morning when you could have slept in, by showing up and participating in worship, listening to God's word, singing God's word, confessing God's word. You love each other around you and the people who are watching live stream. By praying with your brothers and sisters, gathering and praying for the people who are sitting around you and the people who can't come, you are strengthening one another. By supporting the church with your offerings, you strengthen one another. Youth programs are funded. Men's and women's ministries are funded. Confirmation programs are funded. The music programs funded to enhance our worship. Pastors and called workers are funded with resources to help those in need within the congregation and in the community, especially those most vulnerable. We have a sufficient office staff hired, and sometimes they do a lot more than just office staff. They become counselors themselves, helping people in need, people who are heartbroken. And unlike the Corinthian church, we do have an altar guild. Now, they're volunteers, but they make lots of preparations, and they always make sure we have enough of the elements to celebrate the Lord's body and blood, to receive it by grace, as he bids us to do. The building we worship in, we don't have to have a building, but we do, and we thank God for it. The sanctuary is cared for and funded. We have the proper janitorial staff, which makes not just the sanctuary, but the entire campus beautiful, and trustees that volunteer to help. The proper equipment, whether it's the lighting, the sound, whatever it is, Chapel Across takes care of it, to the point where even when the beam that is holding up this church, when it was in distress, there was no discussion. We just took care of it, because there's no way we're going to let that beam fall down. And you stepped up and gave above and beyond to take care of it. The mission to strengthen one another then moves out from the sanctuary into the hallways, the meeting places, the classrooms, the parking lots, in random acts of kindness. A member loses a spouse, and you're there to sit with him or her the first Sunday back after the funeral. I've seen that many times in my ministry. You don't know how much it helps that person. A member's taken to the hospital from the service. That's a scary thing. And you're out there to make sure the ambulance knows how to get in and out of the parking lot. You're there to get in your car and ride behind the ambulance to find out what's happening to the member because they don't have family here at the church. A friendly face greeting those when they walk in each morning, or to give them a hug because it's too cold. A friendly face passing out a bulletin. Which kind do you need, the large print or the regular print? A nurse taking blood pressure checks following the service. And then there's more organized ways that happens around here. Our women's group making gallons of soup and freezing it for our homebound or other people in need. The hours that our Sunday school teachers and staff, our choir, our music groups put into proclaiming God's word each week. Our crochet and quilter groups. All the volunteers that turned out to turn our downstairs into a homeless shelter for a week. The amount of care given to families who lose a loved one. Just by showing up at the funeral. I don't know how many times I leave the funeral home and Pastor James or Pastor Bob's walking in and they say something like, how's the family doing? And I'll say, well, they're doing fine. Right now it's a Chapel Across party in there, so you have a long line to wait to get to talk to them. How about the comfort group that is established to help the people after the funeral? How about the e-service? It's not a technology service, but a worship service designed for special needs kids, adults, and families. All these things happen in order to love one another, to strengthen one another in faith for the faith. And then there's our community groups that meet here. We have over 125 people in four different AA groups and three Al-Anon groups that meet every week in our building to get strength for the long road of recovery. Some of those people have joined our church. Some of our members have joined their groups. It's been a beautiful relationship. And the mission of strengthening one another moves into other people's homes and out past the parking lot into the community. Our friendly visitor ministry, our prayer chain ministry. How about the men's ministry rehabbing homes? Or our women's ministry putting together care kits for women's shelters? Our Meals of Love team, which delivers warm meals to people's houses after they're hospitalized. How about collecting food for Oasis Food Pantry? And all the volunteers of our church that work at the Oasis Food Pantry. The list goes on and on and on. And the biggest risk I take this morning is forgetting someone or some ministry at Chapel Across. But Jesus knows, and that's all that matters. The point is, Chap LaCrosse, you've been doing a great job in this mission statement, whether you knew it was part of our mission statement or not. But St. Paul would exhort us today to continue to abound in doing it. So Chap LaCrosse, we, your pastors, exhort you, as Paul did the Thessalonians, to continue to abound in increasing your love for each other, not for your salvation, but for the sake of other people, and in pointing them to the love of Jesus Christ. Abound in your mission to strengthen one another, knowing that God is pleased with us fulfilling this mission. And know this, when you get tired, because there are times when you will get tired or weary, you have other geese in this congregation who will fly to the front and take the brunt of the work. They will be there to strengthen you. They've been there to strengthen us pastors. I know that firsthand. And more than this, besides all the geese sitting around you this morning, you have an eagle, Jesus. He is your eagle. The prophet Isaiah promises that he will lift you up on his mighty wings, his mighty outstretched arms that were stretched out in death for you. They're no longer dead. They've been raised. They've been raised to life for you, so that you who wait in the Lord, you shall renew your strength. You shall mount up with wings like eagles. You shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not be faint. In Jesus' name, amen.